Merle has asked that we would read from Titus chapter 2. In the beginning of this chapter, Paul is instructing Titus about different things he should say to groups within the church, to the aged men, the aged women, and then through them to the young women, and also to the young men. And there is one instruction that is to be repeated to each of those groups, and that is to be sober. And this word means to be serious about life. Jesus said he came that we would have abundant life, but he also talked about counting the cost. Life is serious, and we need to take it seriously and think seriously about what we're doing. Titus chapter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All those who are able, let's kneel in prayer.
Bring your Christian greetings this morning in the precious name of our living Lord and Savior. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that sincere prayer and for each one of you who have been praying. The subject this morning is entitled Godly Mothers. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. There were the words of John Newton as he penned the words of that hymn. The question of the morning is this: who can put the value and effect of a praying, godly mother? How many lives have you as a mother here at Pleasant Hill touched for the Lord? I know you have touched many, and I encourage you to keep on. John's mother was fully surrendered, a consecrated woman, gray-haired, a bent back because she spent many hours and days over a washtub and ironing board. In his teens, John ran away from home, and for years, she did not know where he was. She prayed for John day after day. Many times, the tears of her eyes mingled with the suds as she prayed. John lived a very, very wicked life. He was a buyer and seller of slaves, human beings that suffered terribly. Mother's prayers were answered, and John came to the Lord. He was later known as a sailor preacher of London. Because of her prayers for her son, John, many other lives were touched. I'd like to mention a few here. Among the many that John Newton touched, there was a man, Thomas Scott. He was a cultured scholar, morally good. He said he didn't need a savior, but John's mother's prayers were answered, and Thomas was known for many of his writings. Among the many that Scott touched, there was a man who was too bad for God to save. His name was Cowper, and he found out about a fountain filled with blood. He was cleansed in that flood of blood. And then he wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood." That hymn touched a man by the name of Wilberforce, who became a lay teacher, who touched the middle class of England and spared them to free the slaves. Wherefore, Wilberforce touched many among many, a man by the name of Richmond. Richmond knew the account of the daughter of a milkman. She had an unusual touch by the power of God. He wrote down her story, the dairyman's daughter. It was translated into 40 different dialects. that touch lives and huts and kings' palaces for the Lord. The center of this outreach of the Lord was a Lord who honored the prayers of a gray-haired, bent-back, stubby-fingered mother bending over washing and ironing as she prayed for her son John. A godly praying mother that God used to touch many lives. Mothers, is God using you today to touch lives for him for eternity? I believe you are. He is. First of all, we want to look at God's rule for godly mothers in Titus 2, chapter 4, that they may teach your young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Verse 4 says to be sober, a serious concern for godly living. And I'm thankful for godly sisters here who take life seriously. Love is the highest blessing in an earthly home. You as a wife and mother should be the natural center. Because of mankind's depravity and human nature and peer pressure, this love has been hindered in many homes. Therefore, God calls on mothers to love their husbands and their children. What does it mean to love our children? A woman who had been saved by the love of Christ should then extend Christ's love to the family first of all. They need to take first place in your heart next to your love for the Lord and your husband. Show this love by being there. In so many homes today, mothers aren't there, and the whole family suffers. Another area is it gives security. Your children feel the security of a loving mother, a praying mother who's with them at all times. A mother and daddy's relationship should be sweet and precious to give them security also. And proper discipline is so necessary in our homes. In Proverbs 31:14, she was like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Mealtime at home should be a joyful time together as a family. Too many families today do not eat together and spend enough time around the table of the home. Mothers, make it happen. Mother, prepare your heart as you prepare a meal. Give full attention to each one, to your husband, and to each child. At bedtime, take time to listen. The average child asks 500,000 questions by age 15. If you don't listen when they're small and answer those questions, they will not listen when they're old. You have a great responsibility. Mothers and fathers, grandparents and great-grandparents, we need to pray for our children. Pray that they will fear the Lord and serve him. In Deuteronomy 6:13, I shall fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Pray that they will know Christ as Savior early in life. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Pray that they will desire the right kind of friends and be protected from the wrong kind. Proverbs 1:10, my son, as sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pray that they will be kept from the wrong maid and saved for the right one. 2 Corinthians 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? When you lay aside your ironing to play with your child, or to take a walk in the woods, you're not making his or her day happier. You're giving them something that will make them happy 20 years from now when they have that precious memory. Take time to do that.
Verse 5 says, be discreet, being careful about what one says, or what one does. Chaste, pure, decent, modest in appearance and behavior. Keepers at home, the center of mother's world, a serious danger when a mother works out of the home. And we live in a time today when there's not many mothers or mothers at home. What does the scripture say? In 1 Timothy 5:14, I wear therefore that younger men marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Many children neglected. The needs of children are urgent and unscheduled. God has entrusted a child for you as a mother to care for. Be sure you do that. Many women think they're fulfilled out in the public works. But God created you to be a helpmeet. You will never be fulfilled by trying to copy a man's role. Be careful of the dangers upon your marriage. When a mother tries to establish her independence by working outside of home, she deeply wounds the spirit of her marriage, and the love between her and her husband is a great temptation. A temptation to transfer her affections and her obedience to her own husband. It limits her time and energy that are needed in a godly home setting. She destroys her godly example to others, and the word of God is blasphemed. Mothers, your children need models. Your personal, godly life serving the Lord faithfully by being in your place in the home as a helpmeet and a God-honoring mother who realizes that no one else can fulfill that obligation that you have. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Proverbs 31:28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Is that your experience, sisters, because of your godly motherhood? Secondly, godly mothers recorded in Scripture. Meredith, the mother of Jesus, an example of undying love. The Bible says that when Jesus was taken up to Calvary and was crucified, there stood by the cross of Jesus, Mary, his mother. A mother's love is loyal even to the point of death. Even as the Jews mocked Jesus and the rough, hardened soldiers mistreated him, Mary did not hide in fear, but she stood by him to the very last. The love and devotion of a true mother never fails. A preacher from Scotland told of a mother and her small child were evicted from their home because she could not pay the rent. She was walking about 10 miles to her relatives when a late spring snowstorm set in. The next morning, they found this mother cold in death, but beside her, wrapped in her mother's garments, still alive, was her child. A mother's love is loyal even to the point of death. God has placed that in her being. That is why the word mother touches a tender chord in the heart of every thoughtful person. D.L. Moody stood by the casket of his departed mother and said, Mother, you have done more for me than anyone else in the world. You believed in me and loved me when I was a wild, wicked, a sinner. You follow me with your prayers. I owe more to you than anyone else in the world. Hannah, untiring sacrifice. She prayed and asked God for a son that would serve him. God honored her prayer. And when Samuel was old enough to be away from his mother, he was dedicated to the work of the temple and was put on Eli, the priest, and to serve the Lord. Samuel's mother was faithful in supplying him with clothes that he needed. And those clothes that Hannah made Samuel had worn out. But those tokens of a mother's untiring sacrifice lives on. And so do you as mothers today. Our mothers make many personal sacrifices. Sometimes mother asks, are you just a housewife or do you have a job? The poet says, no one knows the work it makes to keep a home together. Nobody knows the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Our mothers taught us to walk. They kissed our body when we were injured or sick. They lifted us up when we fell down. Our mothers need to be honored for untiring sacrifice. Do you remember the account of Moses and his mother in Exodus 2? Moses was adopted into a pagan household, but the Bible says that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This was Moses' own decision. He decided to go with the people of God. Moses learned the issues at stake at his mother's knee. His mother's influence during his early years was so great that all the training in the king's court and the University of Egypt could not erase it. The influence of a mother on her children can never be overstated. The mother's heart is a child's schoolroom. Is your heart as mother's, your children's schoolroom? I believe that every mother is weaving a cord of influence about a child's life that is going to grow with him until the day of death. Eunice and Lois, unfailing faith. Paul reminded Timothy that his faith dwelt first in grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. It does not mean that we can inherit faith, but it does indicate that a strong Christian home is so helpful. A true Christian mother always provides the spiritual needs of her children under a godly father, as well as for their physical needs. Eunice taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures and made him wise unto salvation. A wise parent begins early to impart religious faith. Impressions of God will be left that time can never erase. Mother and daddy teach them how to live for the Lord. Read to them, pray with them, teach them the wonders of God and his great salvation. Thirdly, honoring mother. Proverbs 31:12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done vigorously, but those exceed in them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Have we always honored our mother as we should? The Lord would desire us to. Or do we take our mothers for granted? Too many times we do. Most of our mothers must serve as a cook, a housekeeper, a seamstress, a doctor, a nurse, a peacemaker, etc. She may prepare close to 1,000 meals every year. Washes and irons tons of clothing a year, washes all those dishes, keeps the house clean and cozy. How often have you thanked her? How often have you given her a tip or did something to help her or gave her a hug and a kiss, telling her how much you appreciate a godly wife and mother? Take time to remember some precious things in your life that mother did for you that changed your life. Most of you know my father was not a Christian until he was 40 years old and I was 13.
So I didn't have a godly father as an example. He taught me good work habits and a lot of other qualities, but not a Christian father until he was 40. But mother filled in the gap. I recall as a boy, mother would kneel beside her bed and teach me to pray. At the age 9 years of age, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and mother spent time with me in God's holy word, preparing me for life. When I was in high school, she would tell me, "Merle, when you're at school or other places in the world, remember whose child you are. You belong to the Lord." I'll never forget those times. I remember when I was away at night, mother was waiting, not sleeping until I was safe at home. Even though my wife, Patsy, was not my mother, she was a wonderful wife and a mother and grandmother and great-grandmother. Patsy always covered my life of preaching with her prayers and her encouragement. I could always depend on her. I was amazed after the Lord took her home, how many people from different parts of the country remember the special things that she did as a godly mother and wife. And I praise the Lord. It was very encouraging to me to know that she touched so many lives. A mother was asked, "Which of your 13 children do you love the most?" Her reply was simply this: "The one who is sick until he gets well, and the one who is away until he gets home." She loved them all. G. Campbell Morgan had 4 sons. They all became ministers. A friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" The son said, "Who? Our mother. Our mother." As our parents get up in years, what do they desire from us to honor them, whether it's our fathers or our mothers? Let's remember this. They appreciate visits. Today, many older people are put in the homes and the children forget about them. They appreciate our hugs and our kisses. They appreciate dinner with us at a restaurant, a ride with us alone, a regular phone call, an hour of your precious time, to be invited into their home with a family, to laugh with you. Our love more than our gifts of money is what they appreciate. Your mother doesn't really want much. Her greatest desire is to be a part of her family, and above all, to see that you're living for the Lord. Never forget that. No one cared for you except for Jesus like a mother. I'll give a quote from Billy Sunday. "I don't think there's enough devils in hell to take a young person from the arms of a godly mother." Think about that. Mothers, remember our children are the only earthly possessions we can take with us to glory. If you have a smile for mother, give it now. If you have a kindly word, speak it now. She'll not need it when the angels greet her at the golden gate. Give her those smiles while you're living. If you wait too long, it may be too late. If you have a flower for mother, pluck it now. Place it gently on her bosom. Print a kiss upon her brow.
What can she, what cares she when life is over for the flowers that bloom above? She will have the, she will have them to share up on, up on yonder, and it'll be full of them. Share with her now. God bless you.